This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program encourages you, instructs you, and perhaps even challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website using the email address that's given there. I have a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, so you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've been doing an overview of the Bible with the desire to encourage each of you to read the Bible on your own and to believe that God can speak to you personally through the Bible. We've emphasized that the Old Testament was written primarily to and for the Jews, but there are lessons there for us today. And the New Testament was written primarily to and for the church, although there's much in the Gospels and in the book of the Revelation that does involve the Jewish nation, the kingdom of God on earth, as well as the spiritual kingdom that we come into the moment that we are saved. And so when we come to the Bible, for us, the backbone of Bible interpretation are the epistles that were written by the apostles so that we could understand how the rest of the Bible fits together. And we understand then that the whole of the Bible is designed to help us understand who God is. It's a progressive revelation of God. And of course, now that the Lord Jesus has come, we have seen God made known in the flesh, and the God that this God that was made known in the flesh was, of course, the God that the Jews rejected. There are many today that still believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was nothing more than a good man, but that he was not God. And I think as you read the Bible, you'll find many reasons to believe that the Lord Jesus was the full expression of God, and that this one is somebody we're going to meet again. And so we want to be prepared to meet him. The Bible says that we need to be born again. We need to be saved if we're going to meet him with our sins forgiven. And I hope you understand those two concepts. We often teach people how to live like Christians without teaching them how to become Christians. And I want you to know both how to become a Christian and how to live like a Christian once you become a Christian. Salvation is always, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 8, by grace. It's something we don't deserve. It's by grace through faith. It's by trusting. So it's for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so those of us that are saved found ourselves turning away from all we thought would save us and resting wholly on the work of Christ to save us. And now that we're saved, we have a desire, a responsibility, a power even to try to represent the Lord properly on this earth. Now, when we come to the book of Daniel, which is the book we're going to be looking at today, we find out that he was beloved of God, a man who was greatly beloved. And it's interesting that Daniel and the book of the Revelation seem to be one and the same with regard to many of the prophecies. And the book of the Revelation was written by the apostle John, who was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so while there's much in these books that speaks of the destruction, there's also much in these books that show us how God loves those who have a desire to be faithful to him. Now, when we come to the book of Daniel, we find out that he and his three friends were taken captive to Babylon. And in this book, we have some of the most practical stories of the Bible. Most of us know the story of Daniel's three friends thrown into a burning fiery furnace. Rather than bowing down to the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had made, This was their commitment to the Lord, and I'm going to read from Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. When they were confronted with the need to bow to the idol versus their need to be faithful to the Lord, they said this, "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." And so these three friends were faithful to God, and then we find out that when they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, there was a fourth man there with them. It appears to be the Son of God, and they were protected from the effects of that burning fiery furnace, which likely speaks in a prophetic way of the 7 years of terrible tribulation that's going to come on this earth, and which is going to greatly affect the children of Israel. But there will be faithful people during that time, particularly faithful Israelites, who will be protected from the tribulation and the judgments that come because of the evil that will be in the world at that time. So Daniel, first of all, tells us about the faithfulness of Daniel and his three friends. When they went to Babylon, they wouldn't eat of the king's meat. And the king's meat had been offered to idols, and so they wanted the kind of food that would have been proper under the Jewish diet, but food that would make sure they were separated from idolatry. And because they were faithful to God, God was faithful to them. And so the first lesson we learn is that we can live in an ungodly world, but we can live in a faithful way to God. We can be separated unto God in that ungodly world. And so when our children go off to universities and colleges where we know they're going to be subjected to the thinking and the reasoning of an ungodly world, our children can be faithful to God in those circumstances and be witnesses for the Lord, not witnesses for the religious systems of our day, but witnesses to the Lord himself that he is faithful to them. It's possible to be separated to the Lord in an ungodly world. And these were young men, probably in their late teens, when they made the decision to be faithful to the Lord. So we also know the story of Daniel being thrown into a den of lions. And we also know the story of Belshazzar, who was the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar, who had been humbled for 7 years and had eaten grass like an ox. But his grandson was rebellious and threw a party using the gold and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. He began to party, and while he partied, Darius the Mede found a way to take the city of Babylon and kill Belshazzar. And when you read that story in Daniel chapter 5, you'll read about the fingers of a man's hand that had written on the wall that night. And this man, who was so carefree in his pagan idolatry, had his knees shake when he realized that God was speaking to him. And so in Daniel chapter 5, we find, "Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. This is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word, Mene. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." And so that night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain. And I just wonder how we would feel if we had been told that we had been weighed in the balances and found wanting. I find it interesting that many people will say they believe their good deeds will outweigh their bad deeds. And when they say that, they don't realize that God is concerned with those bad deeds. They're called sin, and that sin needs to be forgiven in order for them to be in a holy heaven. And it's interesting to me that many people believe heaven is like the sinful partying that this world is involved in. And they think that heaven will be like that, but heaven will not be like that. And I cannot understand how anyone who wants to live a life like Belshazzar was living in complete rebellion against God would be even comfortable in a heaven where the Lord Jesus is worshipped in spirit and in truth. He's supposed to be worshipped that way here, but he'll certainly be worshipped that way up there, and where there will be no more sin or sorrow, nor death, nor crying, nor any of these things that seem to be so enjoyable in our day. There will be no more drugs or drinking or murder, or all of those things will be done away with. And if people are enjoying that kind of a life down here, is it no wonder that the Bible says we must be born again? We need a nature that will fit us for heaven and help us to enjoy the blessings of serving a righteous king rather than serving Satan. We can serve Satan by walking what we call the clean footpath and thinking that we're doing good for other people, but never being concerned about our obstinate rebellion and telling God how to save us. And we can serve Satan by being involved in immorality. We can serve Satan just in many different ways, but we can only serve the Lord one way, and that's by repenting and changing our mind with regard to what's keeping us from trusting in Christ, and then trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. We need the Word of God for that, and apparently Belshazzar never did that, and he was weighed in the balances and found wanting. And friend, if you're hoping your good works are going to outweigh your bad, I'm afraid you're going to be weighed in the balances or scales and found wanting as well. We need to have our sins forgiven. We need to have our sins put away. But in Daniel, we also find a 70-year prophetic picture in Daniel chapter 9, which is the backbone of all Bible interpretation. Jeremiah had talked about the children of Israel being in captivity for 70 years. Daniel knew the 70 years was about to expire, and he began to pray about it. And then God gave him not only an understanding of the 70 years and its expiration, but he expanded that vision into 77s, or 490 years, which tell us exactly what's going to happen by chronological dates that are associated with Israel. And those who understand calendars and astronomy, they have calculated the dates associated with the Lord's death, which is foretold in this passage, and it works out that the day when the Lord made his triumphal entry in Jerusalem was the fulfillment of the 69th week of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. 1 week is future, but there seems to be a gap between the 69th and the 70th week, and the 70th week is going to be a time of terrible tribulation. But Daniel chapter 9 is the key to the calendar that tells us of the dispensations of the Lord as they are associated with Israel. Friend, I hope you're ready for what's coming on this earth. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today, bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name, amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.